Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. If you listened last week, you know there is no Austin this week, but we actually know that because Austin is currently somewhere in the upper Midwest. He's on vacation. He did visit us. Again, if you listened last week, you already know that. I'm a little under
last
the weather today.
Was 2 days ago.
It was a few days ago. It was Monday. It was Monday we were recording.
It was Friday.
Friday for you. I drove down on Monday. I'm a little under the weather, but we're gonna power through it. We're gonna power through an episode. So we just did an episode 3 days ago. Because we released it on Thursday.
We released on Friday.
God, I'm fever brain. So not a ton has changed, so I don't know exactly how long this episode will be. There is enough to talk about, though, that I want to talk about. A lot of it's stupid. A lot of it really, really stupid. But I do want to kind of talk about Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Game 2 will be tonight as we're recording, so when this episode comes out, Game 2 will have been played. Keep that in mind with whatever we're talking about. Some things may have changed, and we may look like idiots because, you know, we could say, oh, the Celtics are going to blow out the Mavericks and the Mavericks win by 50 tonight. Who knows? Just a few free talk about NBA, well, talk about finals things. So LeBron James unfollowed Kendrick Perkins on social media. Did you see that?
Are you now a fan of LeBron? Is that what you're saying?
No. I could not give any less of a shit about who follows who and who unfollows who, except follow at No Reserves Radio on all social medias. But Kendrick's response was
unhinged. It has to be unhinged.
It's not unhinged. It's not unhinged. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. I guess it's a little unhinged. Do you want to guess what he said?
I don't know. LeBron is a whole bitch? I don't know.
No, he said, everybody didn't follow Jesus. I'll be okay.
What?
Yeah, so Kendrick Perkins kind of, in a roundabout way, compared himself to Jesus. I don't think that was deliberate. I just think he thought it was funny in the moment. I have a love-hate relationship with Kendrick Perkins, the media personality, because sometimes he's unironically really funny and says something that's, you know, it's agreeable. It's easy to say, okay, you know what, he's right. He's out of line, but he's right. But, like, I wish he would just drop this character of, I don't know if it's, like, he's trying to one-up Stephen A. Smith or what, but it's, sometimes it's just a little ridiculous. Did that kill you? You haven't said anything since screaming.
Maybe it did.
Well, you let me know if you see Perk in the afterlife.
I won't. We're not going to the same place.
Oh, God.
What? I'm the one going to hell, bitch.
You know what? Sure. So, yeah. Jimmy Butler sitting courtside for a WNBA game featuring the Los Angeles Sparks. And he was getting interviewed courtside during the game, which was, you know, it's kind of disrespectful because, like, interview him during the timeouts, like, let them play. He decided to drop a little illusion that 22 looks good in purple and gold. Obviously,
absolutely.
With the rumors with Jimmy Butler potentially being on the move from Miami, one of the hottest rumor mill destinations has been the Los Angeles Lakers.
Jimmy and LA are not a good fit, by the way.
Jimmy anywhere is not a good fit right now.
Oh, stop it.
Homie. Okay. So let's go into the time machine. We bring this thing out every couple weeks, okay? We're going forward into the future. Do you not see a potential reality where Jimmy Butler is an overpaid declining star crippling a franchise because he doesn't think that he is, or he thinks he's still that guy, and he is very obviously not that guy anymore? Because Jimmy Butler is going to get paid. Jimmy Butler is going to get paid. I guess it
depends on how long the term is of that contract. If Jimmy Butler got a 2-year contract, do I think that's a future? No. If Jimmy Butler got a 5-year contract, do I think that's a future? Yeah. Depends on the length of the deal. Jimmy Butler is what? 34? Would a team really give him a 5-year contract?
Jimmy Butler is 34. He will be 35 at the start of the season.
Yeah, would you really give him a five-year contract?
Homie, I wouldn't have given that to him 2 or 3 years ago.
You're insane. You're a hater.
I'm not. So, he hasn't exactly been the pinnacle of health in recent years, and I feel like with the players available. Now, granted, if you have his contract already on your books and you're just doing an extension, that's one thing. But he seems kind of like a diva. And I'm just not comfortable giving that kind of money to someone who potentially is going to cause friction between my players.
Cause friction? He has a high work ethic, and he tries to motivate people. Like, let's be real. The reason he got kicked out of Minnesota was because, hey, you guys aren't practicing hard enough. By the way, a lesson they probably eventually learned. I'm just saying.
I don't think Jimmy Butler was the reason for that. I just think that a young team got a little older and more mature.
And realized practice matters, and they weren't taking it seriously enough.
Right, but again, he rubs me kind of the wrong way in terms of like who I like personally, because for the theoretical Ren team, okay, he's an excellent player, terrible fit for my team. So no, I wouldn't. Okay. Like,
something tells me the theoretical Ren team isn't making the finals, so it's all good.
So it's. It kind of goes back to what you say, which is like he has this massive ego and acts like something, and he's never won shit. So like, wow, you average 20 points per game. Cool. That's good for like what, 20th in the league? Hold on. What is... Where did Jimmy Butler finish in scoring? Not in the playoffs. I want regular season. Hold on. I'm still scrolling down. Hold on. I'm still scrolling.
You're such a hater.
35. 35th in the league in scoring. You're not getting a max contract from me. Sorry. It's not happening. Again, great player. Terrible fit for my theoretical team. And again, like, if you've won something, sure, maybe. But, like, you haven't won shit and you act like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Kind of going into the Celtics and Mavericks, which we aren't really talking. I mean, okay, so unless you've been living under a rock and you're listening to a basketball podcast and you haven't been following the NBA, the Celtics took game one pretty convincingly.
They did.
Jason so, Kidd.
Correct me. Before you go on, correct me if I'm wrong. So, yeah. Who is the only person on the podcast who picked the Celtics again?
It's been one game, Angelo.
I'm just curious. I'm just asking questions here.
I really hope this ages just as poorly as I'm expecting it to.
And just out of curiosity, did I pussy out and say it was going to be like in 7 games?
No, you said 4, I think.
I said 5.
5.
Okay. Is the series? Granted, it's just one game. It is just one game. But if that game is any indication, does it not appear that
okay, so
the way we're heading?
Let's backtrack here. And I think even the most devout Mavericks fan, okay, and I'm not a devout Mavericks fan. I picked them here.
Cosplay as well. Austin is the devout Mavericks. Anyway,
so even the most devout Mavericks fan, you're going into TD Garden, game one of the NBA Finals. That's kind of a nice home court advantage. I don't think anyone in their right mind expected the Mavericks to win game one. The playoffs do not start until a team loses a game at home.
I used to say that, and you used to get annoyed at me for saying that.
I don't remember getting annoyed at you.
Well, I do. I remember that.
But it's game one. We can say it was convincing or a blowout or whatever, but a 20-point lead in the NBA is nothing in the modern NBA, especially when you factor in that the Mavericks kind of threw...
best player gives you 12.
When the Mavericks kind of threw in the towel halfway through the fourth quarter, there were still 6 minutes left. That's plenty of time for a comeback, and they just kind of said, you know, Luka was a little hobbled last series. We're going to give him a little extra time to rest and just go ahead and count our losses here. I don't think that's necessarily telling for how the rest of the series is going to go. I think game two is going to be more... I said it in the chat the other day. I think games 2 through 4 are the most important in the series.
I agree with that.
So we'll see how tonight goes. But before we
I have the Celtics winning game two. Anyway, go on, sorry.
I think I do, too. I think I have them winning the first two and then the Mavericks taking the last 4. I think when I actually wrote down my... I think that was how I put it.
You know what? Honestly, that's a really good prediction. Like, I'm not even being, like, sarcastic or ironic for the simple fact that if Boston's, like, going to choke it, it's going to be... They start off hot early. They lose 2 games in Dallas. They lose their confidence, and then they just fall apart. Yeah. That's actually a really good prediction.
And I think it also is Luka. It's kind of his mentality. Like, if he goes down 2-0, he goes back to Dallas, gets that momentum. Like, it goes back to the Phoenix Sun series last year. Everybody's talking when they're up, right? And then there's that hilarious picture of him just looking up at Devin Booker just with the dumbest smile on his face. Like, that's just kind of how I see this series going. I think that they get stomped the first 2 games. They go back to Dallas. Celtics get a little comfortable, maybe. Well, and Luka just...
I don't know how good I would feel about predicting Dallas to win game 3 if they get stomped tonight as well, especially after game 1.
I just, like, this, if it happens, like I said in the last episode, it's going to be because Luka has his superstar moment, right?
But he, homie, dropped 30 in game one. I don't think, much like I keep saying with the Denver Nuggets, I'm not sure Luka is the thing that we need to focus on, because Luka's going to give you what Luka's going to give you.
I think, oh, absolutely.
But not only that, Jason Tatum, I don't think, is going to average 16. And you could go to reverse and you say Kyrie's not going to average 12.
Right.
And I get that. But I just think this is a very bad matchup for the Dallas Mavericks in particular, especially if Kristaps is any form of healthy.
But going with that, Kristaps is not averaging a point per minute for this
series. I'm not
series.
Saying
like
he
that,
is.
That's not going to
happen.
But I
could see a world where he averages 20. Not on 20 minutes, but I could see a world where he averages 20
okay.
for this series.
I don't know how quick they're going to get him off that minute restriction, though. Like, that's good, the thing. Like, it's really hard to say because it is the NBA Finals. Like, if you're going to do it, you do it here.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to risk your health here, you're doing it here. That said, I just, with how tall he is and with how much injury history he's had, I can't imagine Joe Mazzulla is going to be uber confident in throwing him out there for 30, 35 minutes a game. Just because he's still, like, yeah, he had 20 points in 20 minutes, but he looked a little hobbled. He did not look like the normal unicorn we're used to.
That's fair.
Before we talk about that game, though, the whole point of explaining that the game was won by the Celtics, Jason Kidd, after the game, was asked, how do you plan to guard Jaylen Brown? Right? It's a fair question. Yeah. Jason Kidd's response is, well, Jaylen Brown is their best player.
What? Oh, no.
So...
Oh, no.
What he's trying to do, if you're not paying attention, is he's trying to be a little sneaky, as Al Horford said, and kind of get into the heads of the Boston Celtics, in particular Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and kind of pit them against each other. You know, enemy of my enemy is my friend. Get in between them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cause some discord in the locker room, but it seems like the Celtics are very aware that's what he's doing. Jason Tatum says, we understand that people try to drive a wedge in between us. Smart thing to do, or try to do, but we've been in this position for many years with guys trying to divide us, say that one of us should be traded or one's better than the other. It's not our first rodeo. So on the surface, at least, it does seem like the Celtics are aware and they're ignoring him. I will say, when Jason Tatum was saying that, his body language was a little not normal. But it could just be he's not as comfortable in the press room as other players.
I think this could mean one of two things. I think that the Mavericks are about to get blown out again, or it worked and it got into Jason Tatum's head, and we're going to be seeing a lot more ill-advised shots from him.
I don't think the Mavericks are going to get blown out.
I don't think they are either, but, you know, we'll see.
A few interesting stats. Sorry, I opened like a billion tabs and I'm trying to coalesce them into like something symbolizing, what's the word, like formatting, I don't know. So there, the things I need are next to each other. There's a few interesting stats. So in game one, Jason Tatum passed out of 61% of his drives for the season, as in the entire season including the postseason. He only passed out of 25.2% of his drives. Dallas was collapsing incredibly hard on Tatum. Do you think Dallas should adjust that? Do you think you just kind of... Because part of what let Kristaps do what he did and Jaylen Brown do what he did was the fact
the
that
collapse injury.
Yes. Yeah. So do you just kind of accept that Jason Tatum's going to the rim, challenge him at the rim? If he makes it, he makes it. Do you accept that?
I think that's a lose-lose scenario. So, like, I think you have to try it. You have to try to, like, not collapse and then see what happens, and then you need to collapse and then see what happens. Obviously, obviously they tried the collapse and they saw what happened. So, I think it needs to be an adjustment, and I think that not collapsing needs to be an option as well. Sometimes you just have to dare that dude to score 40.
Like, I'm all about collapsing on star players. Absolutely, 100% of the time, I get it. Like, LeBron James is going to the rim. You're throwing two or three guys at him. The problem with it is, with this Boston Celtics team, is there's not really a guy in the starting five, and probably as far as six or seven, that you really can help off of. There's not someone that is the obvious weak link on offense, and we kind of saw that not last night, but the night before.
That's why I'm saying it's a bad matchup for the Mavericks. Anyway, go on.
It's a bad matchup for anyone. Because no matter what you do, you really can't play help defense against this team. And that's a problem when they have so many guys that are so lethal in isolation. Again, this makes me feel real good about that Pacers series where we kept them within a basket or two every game. Just saying. But now for the flip side of why if I'm the Mavericks, I'm not necessarily concerned, which was in game one, Dallas had the lowest true shooting assist percentage for any team in this postseason. So basically what that means is it's an idea of what a percentage of a team's shot attempts would have been assisted so that the numbers aren't as reliant on shots going in. It kind of tells the story of an offensive process and basically just what kind of looks you're generating. Right? Make sense?
Yep.
So the way it's calculated, I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head, is potential assists that also could end in a potential free throw or a shot that gets blocked or something like that, like a shot that you can assume is going to go in without these outliers. So basically we have a team that's incredibly talented at moving the ball in the Dallas Mavericks, and in game one they had the worst game of moving the ball of any team in the playoffs. That includes those teams that were like the New York Knicks, where it was Jalen Brunson and whoever they could staple together to throw out with them. So if you're looking at it from the Mavericks' point of view, you're saying we did not have a good game. We know this is not who we are. Let's just get back to playing Dallas Mavericks basketball.
Yeah. One would hope.
I have two more that I forgot to talk about early. Yesterday morning, so before we get back to talking about the NBA Finals, this is kind of that I said that is about to be really ironic.
okay.
So yesterday morning, the day after game one of the NBA Finals, if you turned into ESPN, right? The number one sporting network in the world, correct?
Absolutely. Yep.
Day after game one of the NBA Finals, what do you think they were talking about?
Is Jason Tatum the best player in the NBA?
No. You think they were talking about a team in the finals? No, they were talking about LeBron. Specifically, yeah. They were debating LeBron who the best sells. Running mate of LeBron's career was.
Honestly?
It's Dwayne Wade. It is Dwayne Wade.
But regardless.
It is Dwayne Wade.
But regardless. Depends. Depends. What? Depends if you mean like when he played with LeBron. But what do you think is going to be like the talking point player after LeBron retires? I'm just curious. Is it going to be like Luka? Is it going to be Jokic? So, who's it going
to? I mean, it's going to be Wemby.
You think so?
I think so, because for all intents and purposes, like, look back on LeBron's career. He wasn't, like, how do I phrase this? Like, LeBron himself is kind of quiet.
Yeah,
like in terms of like media, he's private. Like he doesn't do a lot of talking. He doesn't really trash talk. And that's kind of Wemby. Whereas like all the other stars in the league, the young stars are very vocal. They're very out there. They're like Anthony Edwards. Like we talked about, he's potentially going to be the next LeBron in terms of talent, right? But there's still going to be that cloud hanging over him of the unfortunate Instagram Live last year. Which LeBron would never have been caught dead saying anything that could potentially ever have leaked out. He cares too much about his brand, and he should. He's going to be a freaking billionaire. Is he already a billionaire? He already is a billionaire. Like, he cares too much about it. He's not here for the short-term fun. He's here to create generational wealth for his family and make a lasting impact and a legacy. And that kind of sounds more like Wemby than any of the other stars. And also, there's just the obsession with Wemby in terms of having freakish talent. A different type of physical dominance, because LeBron coming into the league was stronger, faster than most of the men in the league.
I think it could be Wemby, but I think the problem Wemby's going to have, and this is, it's not a Wemby problem, it's going to be a Spurs problem. Because I think if the Spurs are not at least playoff contenders and viable playoff teams in the future, it's going to be harder, because that's kind of how LeBron got to be in his talking point. He took the Cavs from catastrophe to in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, in his sophomore or his junior season. The year he left Cleveland, they were the number one seed, and his second best player was like Mo Williams. So, I think that Wemby definitely has the potential to be the person who takes the mantle from LeBron, but I think that the talent's there. I think you need the success. The I'm going to talk about you on ESPN every day. Gets rating is talent meets success, especially if you're not controversial. Fair?
Yeah. So, what you're saying is they need to build talent around Wemby for him to be the future of the franchise, or the future of the
league. Or he needs to be able to, or he needs to somehow be able to carry a franchise kicking and screaming into the playoffs that doesn't want to be in the playoffs. So,
interestingly,
in today's NBA, which I think is harder. I think it's harder today to carry a team kicking and screaming into the playoffs than it was in 2004.
So interestingly, in my notes, I have something kind of tied to that. I didn't talk about it just because, like, I feel like this is more off-season discussion, so I just didn't talk about it yet. So HoopsWire today tweeted that the Spurs are very interested in acquiring Darius Garland from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, I don't know what it would be a great matchup, because you're pairing a great pick and roll ball handler with one of the best rollmen in the NBA that can also
he's probably the best. Just
yeah,
like, no, I understand like developing, but like let's be real,
he's unstoppable. He's unstoppable. Yeah,
he's the best. He's the
and
best.
Like if you play the role, if your center comes out and you're running drop on that screen, he's just gonna go to the three. Well, he's just gonna go three. Like
oh yeah, that's pick and pop. That's yeah, like yeah.
Now, I haven't, like, read anything on this. I don't know, like, what kind of value it would be. Like, obviously, the Spurs have pretty decent draft picks.
I imagine the ransom for Garland would be decent. It's honestly probably similar than what the Nets are going to want for
Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges. Yeah. I imagine it has to be.
So, like, being a neutral fan on paper, I would say it would be something like either Jones or Sochan. I don't think you get both of them because that pick that would be included, which I think they would be asking for.
The pick the Spurs have this year.
What is it, 103?
It's for... Oh, did we do the lottery already?
The lottery already happened.
Yeah, so the Spurs have their picks. Spurs 2020.
I know it's not 101. I just don't remember where they... Four. They're number four. So it'd be number four, and then I think you could get one of Sochan or Jones.
And here's the thing. Probably if the Cavs do that deal, though... No, that's kind of a problem. If the Cavs do that deal, then what's the point of re-signing Donovan Mitchell at that point?
What do you mean?
Because if you get a rookie with the fourth pick, that rookie is probably going to take a few years to develop, right? So Donovan Mitchell doesn't want to wait around to have a second star, 2 years to have a second star alongside him. It's kind of contradictory.
I guess, but there's enough.
It makes more sense with Mobley, honestly. And I hate to say this, but if they're going to do that, then maybe they should also look into moving Mitchell and try to do what the Thunder did, except they have Mobley.
I mean, the thing though is there's enough quality players. Like, I know this draft is catching a lot of flack, but it feels like every year someone's saying this is the best draft ever, and then it ends up not being the best draft ever, or this is the worst draft ever, and then suddenly we've got second round picks that are MVPs. And there are quality NBA-ready or damn near NBA-ready players in this draft that would fit needs within the Cavaliers organization. Matas Bouzelis, he's a 3-4. A little big for a 3, but I think he's like 6'10", 6'11". But he's pretty much NBA-ready. And that's around that pick. I probably would have him going right now a little later because obviously Reese Ashar and Sar and Shepard are going to be gone. So after that, I don't know, actually. Those three are the top three for sure. I think the Spurs would take Nikola Topic. I don't know. We'll get more into that like once we get closer to the draft. But maybe it's a three-teamer, but you have to be asking for that fourth pick in any trade for Garland. And maybe you're moving that for another piece, but I think that's the start of the trade would be that pick. Probably Jones, because personally, if I'm asking, I prefer Jones over Sochan. And then filler pieces. But I don't know if... Because again, in this situation, for all intents and purposes, Darius Garland has asked for a trade. Right? Because if Donovan Mitchell is back, Garland has informed the Cavs he doesn't want to be there. That tanks your value. So I don't think you're getting a king's ransom for Garland, even though I think in the modern NBA, a player of his skill set is worth it. I just don't think you're getting it back. So there's a chance that, like, the Spurs are going to go all in and building around Wemby. They have no reason not to. He's one of the most recognizable players in the game. He's one of the most talented players in the game. Just do it. I guess tied into that, so, like, in the world of hypotheticals, okay, so let's say Cleveland Cavaliers want to compete, right? So they don't want that fourth overall pick. So in a three-team trade, Spurs and just the core pieces. I'm not going to go into details like what I would think like other pieces would be in a perfect world. Spurs get Darius Garland. Miami Heat get the 4th overall pick. Cleveland Cavaliers, oh, no. Jimmy Butler. Oh, what? You suddenly have a problem with it? What? What? You suddenly don't like the idea of Jimmy Butler on your team? Explain that to me, Angelo.
No.
Oh, no. Is it a great idea now?
That would be a move. That would most certainly be a move.
But something like that where you're trading that pick immediately after getting it or within that trade to another team. Obviously, I don't necessarily think that would be the move. For all intents and purposes, I wouldn't trade the 4th overall pick for LeBron James right now. Just because you're getting really? One season of LeBron James. Maybe two. Maybe two. But yeah, you get the point. But the reason for that is an NBA insider, according to Sports Illustrated, says to pay attention to Cleveland Cavaliers as suitor for Jimmy Butler. Again, I have all these notes saved, but I was saving them for off-season shit because we're going to have like nothing to talk about.
Yeah, fair.
So, were you able to watch the whole of Game 1?
I was not.
I was able to watch until the 4th quarter, so... not a lot to talk about then. Mavericks apparently have no panic moving forward, which I wouldn't expect them to. I clicked on the wrong thing, that's why I was just word vomiting. Adjustments... I don't know if I would make any adjustments as either team. Like the Celtics have no reason to adjust. They just won by 20, right? The Mavericks, I just think you have to keep playing your game. They did not shoot the ball very well. They were only 25% from three. And on the flip side, the Celtics were 40% from three. I don't think
they were
either
late from three.
Yeah, I don't think either of those numbers stay the same. The Mavericks also shot 41% from the field. I just think you have to keep playing your game. But, like, the assist totals really tell the story. And that's all tied into the fact that the Mavericks just were not shooting the ball very well. Mavericks had 9 assists to the Celtics, 23 blocks. This ties into your Kristaps being the game changer. Mavericks only blocked a single shot. The Celtics blocked 9. Steals were 8-6 in favor of the Mavericks. Turnovers, 11-12. It was pretty even there. Points in the paint. Mavericks kind of dominated that side of it, 46-38. But again, the three-point shooting, 7-27 compared to 16-42. Now, granted, 16-42, that's a lot of threes. But
there's a lot of threes.
But at the same time,
you just said that the Mavericks' defensive game plan was to collapse on Tatum.
Yeah. So they were leaving a lot of threes open.
Exactly. So it makes sense in the grand scheme.
That's the only adjustment I'd make is I would just kind of let Jason Tatum beat you at the rim. Because when you look at the grand totals, okay, 35 field goals total made for the Dallas Mavericks to 39 field goals made total for the Boston Celtics. It's not that big of a gap. And a lot of that was open threes. So I say you just let Jason Tatum beat you at the rim. If he beats you at the rim, granted, he shot like 71% at the rim this season, so maybe that's not a great idea, but it's better than a wide open three.
I think you have to try the other. So you collapse on Tatum, you saw what happens. Try not collapsing on Tatum, and yeah, he's probably going to drop 40. But you see,
it's kind of like the Pacers' strategy during the regular season against Giannis. Let Giannis drop 50 on you and have everyone else beat you in coverage.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then you see what happens. And then if it doesn't, if you liked the result of game one, because they didn't actually end up scoring that many points as opposed to what I'm used to from the Boston Celtics, 107. But we'll see. Honestly, I don't even think like how they defend the Celtics is as important as the Mavericks. So like, I understand the main talking point was Kyrie only had 12, and Kyrie's going to have games where he has 20 and 30. That's a given. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But the role players just forgot how to be role players, it seemed like, from what I saw. Do you agree with that? Like, Daniel Gafford had, like, 5 points.
Yeah.
P.J. Washington had barely double digits when he was dropping 20 in certain games. Like, I think that's more concerning than
Gafford got
chased
off the floor. Gafford got, to be fair, because he only played 14 minutes. And he had 8 points in 14 minutes, so.
Yeah.
Where'd it go? I had another stat. I didn't. This is a problem. This was all, like, done quickly. Sorry. So last night, 2 nights ago, my notes are terrible. Leave me alone. Dallas only generated 12 spot up opportunities compared to Boston's 34. There was a lot of commentary that Dallas was just missing, but Boston wasn't giving them many open looks, is the truth. Like, I think PJ Washington and Kyrie had a couple, but that's really all I remember from that game. Whereas on the other side of the ball, like we said, the Mavericks were collapsing, and everyone not named Jason Tatum had multiple open looks throughout the night. I don't know. What's your prediction for game two?
Mavericks get shot out the court again.
Shot out the court? Like another 20-point loss? Interesting.
I think them in five. This is the scenario that has to go down.
I think the Mavericks lose tonight for sure. But I think that it's a lot closer than game one. I think this is the game where they try some adjustments, figure out works by the end of the game, and that's what leads us back to Dallas.
Like, my scenario to be over, and granted, it's a crazy scenario. I have my reservations as to whether or not the Boston Celtics can actually win the series in five, but if it were to happen, they win this game by 20, they head to Dallas, get a narrow victory, and suck the life out of the Mavericks, basically. Luka is not going down in four. They take game four, and then the Celtics take care of business in game five. That's kind of the scenario I'm looking at.
I just saw an interesting thread pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Is Al Horford a Hall of Famer? Now, remember, before we start talking about this, this is the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame.
He's not in the NBA Hall of Fame, but he is in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
So I'm going to read off, he might, I don't know, it's tough. I'm going to read off his resume real quick. 5-time NBA All-Star, All-NBA Third Team, All-Defensive Second Team, All-Rookie First Team, 2-time NCAA champion, 3rd-team All-American, SEC Tournament MVP, Centro Basket Bronze, FIBA Americas Bronze, Centro Basket Gold. He has 14,000 total career points, 9,000 total rebounds. I mean, just based off the college career, I feel like he gets in. But if he wins a ring, does that get him in based on the NBA accolades?
Probably not. No.
Like 15,000 points plus a championship plus 5-time All-Star plus all third team. Because making an all NBA team, that's tough.
It's not
only
easy.
15.
It's not easy. Yeah.
Only 15 per year. Plus an all defensive team, which there's only 10 of every year. Plus an All-Star 5 times. If he wins the NBA Finals, lifts that Larry O'Brien. Because I think that just based off his collegiate and international career, because again, it is the Basketball Hall of Fame, on a weak ballot year, he would easily get in.
I think if I actually don't ring, like how the Basketball Hall of Fame does it. Like, I would rather it be like the Baseball Hall of Fame, where like it's harder to get in, and they have things like, "Oh yeah, we're not going to have Barry Bonds in because, you know, he did steroids." Then it feels like everyone gets in.
Not everybody gets
like
in.
like if you asked me, if you said, "Would this good player, like not the leader of a team, just this good player get in the NBA Hall of Fame?" I'd be like, "Yeah, probably." Like, and that to me makes it mean less, quite honestly. Because if everyone is special, no one is special.
But like, is that really accurate?
Didn't you post a picture of a guy who had like no NBA accolades that got in?
Yeah, because, and that was the point I was trying to make, because you kept saying that an NBA career was all that matters, and
I posted, should be all that matters.
An NBA career,
yeah,
is all that matters. In an NBA Hall of Fame, sure, but in a Basketball Hall of Fame, you have to consider not, like, Arvydas Sabonis is one of the greatest basketball players of all time, but he did not play in the NBA until he was like 36 years old, and his NBA career is god awful. But his all time
career, NBA Hall of Fame
doesn't exist.
The Basketball Hall of Fame exactly, but the NBA Hall of Fame and the Basketball Hall of Fame should not be the same thing, is what I was about to say, Ron.
So, like, for example, Bill Laimbeer is not in the Hall of Fame. He's a 2-time champion, 4-time All-NBA. So, like, when you say that's anybody kind of surprising gets in, who else? Mark Price, 4-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA. Mark Price is probably, after LeBron, he's probably in y'all's Mount Rushmore.
I don't know if, I mean, that's actually a really good debate, who would be after LeBron in the Cavs. But he's LeBron, you're right, he is on the Mount Rushmore.
It'd probably be LeBron, Kyrie, Price.
You can make an argument for Brad Daughtry.
It would probably be Z.
Yeah. Just for the longevity.
There's someone we're forgetting. Just because he won 7 times, Robert Horry, for all intents and purposes, probably should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not. 100%. But, like, the players I was sharing, so, like, because I was trying to make a point that, like, rings don't necessarily matter. One of those players that I linked you to, he was the first African-American drafted into the NBA. That's worthy of being in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Would it be worthy of being in the NBA Hall of Fame? No, because you just got drafted. But in terms of changing the game of basketball, absolutely. That belongs in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of players that never actually made the Hall of Fame that I'm... Chauncey Billups,
Chauncey deserves it.
5-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, 2-time All-Defensive, NBA Champion, and Finals MVP? Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah, he should be in it.
That's kind of what I'm saying. By having the NBA accolades. My God. I don't know. The basketball is just cursed. It's fucked. We should destroy it and build it over.
Rasheed Wallace isn't in the... What the fuck? I would have... Hold on. I'm going down a rabbit hole. Rasheed Wallace seriously isn't in the Hall of Fame. I swore he was. They need to put that man in just for his technical fouls.
You're making my point for him.
No. I'm not talking about his NBA accolades. I'm talking about the fact that this man, Google it, correct me if I'm wrong, but he has the single season record for technical fouls. He does.
Technically, yeah, you can't do it anymore. Or you'd get suspended.
Yeah. Anyway, he should be in the Hall of Fame for that. I don't care about his NBA accolades. That alone should get him in the Hall of Fame. How many was it? Wasn't it like 41. That alone should get that man in the Hall of Fame. What are you talking about? Al Horford. So, again, because the Basketball Hall of Fame is honoring the sport of basketball, not the league that is the NBA, because if we only acknowledge the NBA, we're saying that if you choose to play basketball elsewhere, you're not good, and that's kind of trash opinion. Just because they're... baseball? I know there's a really good league in Japan, but there's not really the same worldwide professional leagues, as far as I'm aware. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Whereas with the NBA or with basketball, there's leagues all over the world. There's the China Basketball League. There's all sorts of different Euro leagues. Luka Doncic has been playing professional basketball since he was like 15 years old. And
right,
if we're going,
there's still like foreign baseball leagues. It's just those leagues don't count.
But like, when you're talking about the Naismith Hall of Fame, Naismith didn't give a fuck about the NBA. Naismith cared about basketball. That's what it is. It is basketball.
I get it.
Because, again, Arvydas Sabonis is one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
I get it. I get it.
But... why would we say that because he chose to play in his home country, he's not great at basketball? Because
this is fucking America, Ren. God damn it. No one gives a fuck about what happens out in, like, the other side of the ocean.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Come on now. This is America. Oh, America. America first, Angela, motherfucker.
Angelo.
America first.
Angelo. Angelo.
This is America.
Angelo. Go pull up our... Angelo. Go pull up the heat map of where our fucking listeners are from, you goddamn asshole.
I don't care what the heat map says. This is America.
But the Basketball Hall of Fame is not
about America.
Should
be the NBA Hall of Fame, and Arvydas Sabonis should not be in it. There it is. I said it.
That's such a trash take. That is such a casual take.
No, that's such an NBA take, Ren. NBA.
Trash. Trash take. If LeBron James decides tomorrow to go play in China, it does not change the fact that LeBron James is still LeBron
James. Yeah, but
James.
He accomplished all that he accomplished in the NBA. If you tell me LeBron James is 2003 decides to play in China, yes, he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, Ren.
If LeBron James in 2003 decided to play in China, he's still LeBron James. Like, he's still the most unstoppable force of all time in the NBA or in basketball.
Not America.
That's so dumb. That is so fucking dumb. I can't even put... like, there's no way to rationalize how dumb that is. That is dumb. That is dumb, dumb, dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. We're talking about the Basketball Hall of Fame. Not the NBA.
It should be the NBA Hall of Fame.
There should be an NBA Hall of Fame, absolutely. But the teams
already
do that
themselves. And it
should
matter more than the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Why? If anything, the Basketball Hall of Fame would be harder to get into. Because it would look at your whole career in the sport instead of just in the NBA. Like, maybe in the Basketball Hall of Fame you have to have a successful collegiate career and then go play overseas and then come back and win Rookie of the Year at 29 years old, because that's how sports work. And suddenly you're in the Basketball Hall of Fame, but you don't make the NBA Hall of Fame because you never won a ring.
Damn straight. As it should be. Someone give me my beer.
Oh, God damn it. Do you have anything else to say? Any other...
You want me to say more?
Yeah, I just get it out of your system now before we get, like, canceled. Forever.
No, it's fine.
You just insulted half the fucking world.
That's all half? Damn.
Guys, if you like what we do here, or you just want to bitch at Angelo, follow us on all socials at No Reserves. If you're listening this far, you either fell asleep or you do enjoy it, and that's the case, and you haven't yet, go ahead and follow us on whatever podcatcher you're listening to. Leave a like. Follow us hit that little notification button so you know when we post episodes, because sometimes it's random. If this is your first episode, Thursdays, Angelo and Alex and sometimes Austin host a football podcast. What is coming up this week, Angelo?
Stuff and things.
It's the off season for football. They're kind of winging it. It's fine.
We'll figure out. We'll talk about NFL Hall of Fame, which actually puts your NFL career into account, not your career.
Motherfucker.
Hold on. There's no rugby players in the NFL Hall of Fame, Ren. I'm going to tell you that right
that's,
now.
That's great. Hold on. How many? Hold on. I'm angrily typing. There have been 37 internationally born players in the NFL. Go fuck yourself.
They played in the NFL. They didn't play in, like, China or, like, Saudi Arabia or India or France or Great Britain or anywhere else. They played in the NFL. They came here and they played in the NFL and they got in.
There is no other option.
Exactly, as there should be.
That's dumb. That is dumb. Hold on. Japanese football. Wait, do they even play football in China? Oh, what? That's soccer. Japanese.
I think there's an Australian league, if I'm not mistaken. I know there's a Canadian league. Which, by the way, we don't count. We don't count the Canadian Football League. The Canadian Football League doesn't count because they're the Canadian Football League. They're not the National Football League. They don't get played in America.
There was a Gridiron Football League in Japan until 1997. Game rules are based on those of NCAA College Division. With the exception of length of quarters, which are 12 minutes instead of 15 during the first stage of the season. International Gridiron
Football. Alex was talking about it, and I forgot where he said it was. Maybe it was in Portugal. I don't know. But regardless, it doesn't count. The stats from that don't count.
Okay. Oh, holy shit, there's a whole Wikipedia page.
As there should be.
Puerto Rico. Hold on.
Doesn't count.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I'm still scrolling. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good. European League of Football. ELF.
Doesn't count.
June 2021. Brazil Futebol Americano.
Doesn't count.
Colombia FECOFA. Federation Federación Colombiana de Fútbol Americano, LUFA, Liga Uruguayana de Fútbol Americano, awesome. Austrian Football League, Belgian Football League, Croatia, Hrvatska Football Liga.
Great. Doesn't count.
Česká Liga America Football, National Ligaen, Vatra Liga. League Elite de Football American, German Football League, Hungarian Football League, Irish American Football League, Prima Division FIDF, AFBN Division 1, Polish Football League, Liga Portuguesa de Football Americano.
I just figured out what the name of the title is of this episode.
What's the name of the title?
Doesn't count.
Let's look at perf. Hold on, You know what? Hold on. I want to actually. We're going off the rails here. Welcome to Open Gym.
Oh crap!
Yeah. No, fuck no more. You.
We were supposed to end this episode, right? Come on. Ren
doesn't want to get Vikings, out of here. Graz Giants, Swarka Raiders Tirol, Danube Dragons, Prague Black Panthers, AFC Rangers Modeling. Salzburg Ducks and the Telfs Patriots. Graz Giants. Let's look at the Graz Giants. Uh-huh. They got good colors. They're blue and gold like the Pacers. Doug Wilkerson, former NFL All-Pro, is an alumni of this team.
That's great. He's an alumni because of what he did in the NFL.
No, he's an alumni because he played for the team, you dipshit. That's what alumni means. Let's look at the Prague Black Panthers. That's an unfortunate color. Like, their logo is clean. It's just all black, but then it's got yellow in it, and that's...
Do you love black and yellow?
It's really distracting. They have...
That's huge colors. Never mind. Screw that. Screw those
they
colors.
They have no... The New Bay Dragons, they have no... Anthony Thompson, Joe Jordan, Jonathan Daly, Eric Marty, Hugh Mendes. Okay, hold on. There's actually more like former NFL players than I thought. Like I thought this was gonna be a whole what should call it? Vienna Vikings. I bet the Vienna Vikings have some. George Patton, who's an American football executive. Tony Hunt? No. Okay, let's go to the Croatian league. Just for those wondering, this is entirely Angelo's fault. This is...
I'm cutting you off. Like, we've officially passed the hour mark. I'm cutting you off.
Unless you
come up with something.
Fucker, I don't even know what I'm looking for. I'm just... Looking for That's something. It. Hold on. No. Give me a second.
You're getting cut off. What?
No. Because this team is called the Copenhagen Tigers and they won the Mermaid Bowl. Give me a second. And they had a famous player named Magnus Bitch.
Okay.
I love this team.
I'm sure you do. Go be a fan of it. Go say they deserve to be in the NFL Hall of Fame, even though they didn't play in the NFL. Something like that. Because football is football.
There's a offensive lineman who currently plays for the Cleveland Browns from this team. I'm not going to even pretend to pronounce that. His name is... Hold on. Yelda Froholt.
Oh, nice.
He's a guard. He's played for the Patriots, the Texans, and the Browns. And now he plays for the Cardinals. Yeah, so. They have actual players. At the French League. I got the French League real quick. Look, the whole point is there's a whole wide world out there, and to pretend that it doesn't exist is a little scary. It's a little, not jingoistic. What's the, not nationalistic? What is it when you... I guess it would be nationalistic. It's like, we're the best because we're the best, and like, that's just wrong.
Because it's America. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Oh. You admitted it, now we can all go home. We can all send the people home happy. They can hopefully start a petition to make it so that the Basketball Hall of Fame is replaced with the NBA Hall of Fame. Or they can just abolish the Basketball Hall of Fame altogether and just make it the NBA Hall of Fame. You know, either one's cool with me.
Okay, hold on.
But regardless...
Hold on. No. Hold on. I'm actually Googling something related to this.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you are.
Ha, fuck you. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is the Hall of Fame for professional American football located in Canton, Ohio, open blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no one cares about it. NFL Hall of Fame, baby.
Almost all of who made primary... Hold on. No, we're fucking doing this. Fuck you, Angela. Non-NFL players in the Hall of Fame. Go fuck yourself. Billy Shaw. What did Billy Shaw do? He played in the NFL. Oh, hold on, hold on.
Fuck you, Ron. Fuck you, Ron. What did Billy Shaw do? He played it. That's great. That was great.
Well, I'm shooting in the dark because I don't know shit about the NFL. Commissioner, blah, blah, blah. I would feel like, well, granted, there's only one professional league for the NFL.
What, the CFL?
For football. No one acknowledges the CFL as existing.
Thank like it's, you!
No, because
you said it! He did it, Red! Congratulations! Now just say America first. Just say it. Just say it. It's okay. You can say it.
Oh, wait, no, the CFL's older than I thought. What am I thinking of? What's the league that just started like 2 years ago that Johnny Manziel went to play in?
XFL.
Yeah, fuck the XFL. The CFL, I guess, is legit. It's Canadian football.
Yeah.
That's fine. I thought that was the same thing.
No.
No, okay, so this actually has existed for 60 years. That's totally fine. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 70 years. No, no. CFL's real. XFL. What's the XFL?
It's the Vince McMahon WWE.
Oh, no, I'm not even Googling that. Fuck that. Have a great week, y'all. Angelo will see you on Thursday where he'll continue his, I guess, xenophobic tirades. Have a great week.
Okay.
Love you guys. Bye.
It's tirades, by the way.